sun we're about to go. But of course you will never know where the shift's gonna take you. But we all know this is the Shannon Show.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't a romantic podcast.
I don't know what I'm talking
stories
about.
Will never run out. Banana thoughts or some wet
are they
socks.
Wet?
Trapping tight, cause this is the Shannon Show.
Are you actually putting this on the podcast?
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to another edition of the Shannon Show podcast. Really excited here. A little late night one. Not that late. It feels late. It's only 6 o'clock here. What's wrong with me? And these guys are not, I mean, Yannick isn't even in this side of the country, so it's not late at all for him. I don't know what I'm talking about. Daylight change is messing me all up, I guess. But it is the Shannon Show, as always. I'm your host, Shannon Hyde, and today I'm very excited to have Yannick and Mateo joining the show. But first, I have to remind everyone to go vote for the Shammy Awards. It's the third annual Shammy Awards. You can go to theshannonshow.com and vote for the Shammys. We've had some great guests over the past year and some great episodes, so it's a great time to acknowledge them. With no further ado, I'd like to introduce these two fine gentlemen to the show, and let's have some fun. Yannick, Mateo, how are you guys doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man.
That's great. Awesome. Glad to be here.
Yeah, well, Young's definitely doing good because he's in cozy San Diego right now. He's not freezing his ass off like us. It
starts snowing today. I'm not happy, man.
Yeah?
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Nothing pisses me off like the cold, man. Like, I'll be having, like, a perfectly fine week, and then, like, it hits, like, 16 degrees, and it's just – it kills the mood.
It's 21 right here, man. Like, yeah. Last night it was 70 yesterday, and I woke up to snow. I was like, oh, no.
70, that's unbelievable. It's just the cold starts stinging you. It's rough. Walking to class, and I despise it. Yannick's like, he has no idea. What's the coldest place you've lived, Yannick?
You don't even know, man.
I guess Yucca Valley.
Shut up.
I mean, it's the desert, so like it gets cold at night and during the winter, but it's not like it never goes below like 30, so I'm chilling.
Wow.
Below 30 right now. It hits 30 below here.
Yeah, this is just normal. Yeah, man, I remember the Oki temperature was crazy. Like, I was all messed up. It hit 50, and like everyone would be like all bundled up like it was the wintertime.
Mm-hmm. I was sweating still.
Like, you were sweating still?
Yannick knows. I don't know if – have you ever seen me cold, Yannick? Like, I was just always hot in Oki.
No, I don't think I've ever seen you cold.
Even ice skating. Like, I was steaming in the ice skating rink. Like, it was
that
bad.
That was weird. Bro walked in, and he was already steaming. I'm like, are you good?
Yeah.
Did you guys do that? Was that for PE?
No, that was weird.
I remember there was a PE trip. Yeah. It was like we're going ice skating.
It was one of the times I actually did go out with him.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. We didn't get to do anything like that.
Yeah, you didn't say no thanks to that one. Yeah, I guess that was, yeah, maybe they stopped it with my year. I don't know. Well, you guys are both military kids, obviously. We're both, I don't want to say former military kids, but you guys are both now in college, pursuing, I guess, adult things like myself, looking back on the glory days, if you will, of being a military child. But I think it's a really cool perspective. Like, once you're outside of that military community for just a little bit, you can kind of reflect a little bit more. You can look at it as a whole, your military kid upbringing. So just have some questions for you guys. Kind of take it wherever you want. Where have you guys lived growing up? Was there any like notable places? I know we all spent some time in Okinawa, is a really cool place to live. But was there anywhere else that was most influential on you guys there that you want to address?
I was born in New York, lived for like 6 years near Chicago, lived in Hawaii like 3 years, California, Michigan. And then Oki, and then Vermont now, and Connecticut for a little bit.
That's a lot.
So I've been around, yeah.
Yeah, I'm around the block a few times.
My favorite was probably Cali and Hawaii, though.
Yeah. How does Hawaii compare to Oki? Pretty similar? I know it's often
It's really close, except it's just like a different like culture there, kind of. Like, it's a lot more Americanized, just because like everyone, there's like a lot of McDonald's and stuff there, military bases. It was pretty much like, I mean, it is the U.S., so like, it wasn't like we were in a different country. Climate-wise, it was really the same, though.
Yeah. Yeah, island vibes, I'm sure. Yannick, what about you, man?
Well, I was born in 29 Palms, lived there for like 2 years-ish, and then I moved to San Diego, lived here for about 3 years or something, and then Italy for like 3.5, and then came back to San Diego, same amount, and then went to Okinawa, and that's the longest I stayed in one place. And then we moved back to 29 Palms, and then now I'm in San Diego again.
How long were you in Oki for?
5.5 years.
5.5 years? Yeah, that's a long stop. Do you remember much from Italy?
Not really. I mean, I remember, like, all the trips we would take to, like, other European cities or, like, locations and whatnot. But I was pretty young, and I had a really shitty immune system.
So, what?
Italy is, like, they have very high pollution there. So it's a great place to, like, be a tourist, you know. It's not a great place to live. So I have very vivid memories of, like, when it would rain, it would, like, downpour, and then the streets on base would flood, and then, like, trash would start flowing down the streets. And so that's why I brought up my immune system, because shit like that put me in the hospital a couple times.
Gotcha, man. But that sucks being a kid and handle that. Yeah, usually, you know, living in a foreign country should be a fun experience, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm allergic to pretty much everything, and I've got a bad immune system. God gave me a very short straw.
Yeah, you should be the one saying no thanks to going out, you know? Like,
I should have been.
Yeah. What branch were your families a part of? Marine Corps?
Navy.
Both Navy. Yeah.
Both Navy. Mm-hmm. Oh, gotcha.
I think we're both our dads are corpsmen, right?
Yeah.
Isn't your dad one too? Yeah. We had the same stuff. They got out for the same reason too.
Yeah.
It was all the same.
Why'd they get out?
Neither of them could make chief.
Gotcha.
My dad was one of them got out to make chief. Yeah. He was a little too honest to make chief. He didn't really want to do any of the kissing up and whatnot. And he was like, I'm getting out.
My dad was only greenside, so he had never been on a ship. In his words, when you're putting a board full of crusty pirates and they see a sailor who's never been to sea, they don't want to promote him.
That's a good line. Do you guys remember Crusty Pirates,
yeah.
A whole lot of Crusty Pirates in the Navy, that's for sure. Do you guys remember, was one move, like, most difficult for you guys? I know a lot of times for kids, like, moving when you're in those teenage years can be particularly difficult, or during your high school years. I know, Mintay, you touched on moving, like, in the middle of the year to Oki. Would that be it for you?
No, not even close. Oh. My worst one was moving from Oki back home to Connecticut now. So it's like a 24-hour trip total. And the military set up all our trip. So we were good. And we have a dog. And so they said everything would be okay. But we had gone through all the plane rides. And then we finally hit Chicago. And once we were at O'Hare Airport, they wouldn't let our dog get on the plane.
It's always O'Hare, like, isn't it?
They were like, we were like, the military told us that he'd be able to sit and, like, be under the seat in front of us. And they're like, yeah, but you can't do that. And we're like, okay. So what do you want us to do? They're like, one person can stay with him, but the layover is going to be, like, overnight. And my dad wasn't going to have my mom or me or my sister stay in O'Hare overnight. Mm-hmm. And he was like, and I can't stay with the dog because I have the orders. And we're like, dang, okay, so what are we going to do? So we ended up having to drive from Chicago, Illinois, down to Groton, Connecticut. It was, like, an absurd amount of time. Nice. We didn't have a car because we're coming from Japan, so we had to rent a car for that.
Yeah.
We hit the hotel, and then because we didn't stay the night, the military wouldn't reimburse us. So that was the worst for me.
Really.
That was terrible.
With
a dog. Like, 12 hours in the car with the dog needing to, like, pee every, like, 30 seconds. Like, it was driving me insane.
those are the worst experiences. You just can't wait to just, like, lay down in a bed, I swear. Yeah. Like, those, like, long travel days.
And once we got there, it was, like, a 3-month wait to get our actual, like, housing. We were staying in the lodge the entire time. Mm-hmm. So I moved into my dorm here before I ever saw my house. I was unpacking over Thanksgiving break. It was bad.
Jeez, man. Yeah. So you didn't have a home. You went to college, and people are like, where are you from? Nope. And you're like, I don't even know.
They're like, what's your mailing address? I was like, where do I go to school?
Couldn't tell you, yeah. Jeez. Yannick, like, what about you, bro?
My worst move was also coming back to the States from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. the experience is like on its own was a fucking shit show. But I ended up moving December 2019, so I was like halfway through junior year. But I had I had changed schools to OCSI right before junior year because my dad retired.
Okay.
So I had already changed schools once, and then I had to change schools again after moving. But the move was really shitty because my dad had retired. So we had to pay for like all the plane rides and whatnot because he was coming over, or we were coming to the States for a GS job that he had taken in 29 Palms. So going from Okinawa to 29 Palms is a rough
move. Yeah, it's night and day.
Literally. It was so bad. And I'm 90% sure I had COVID or some really bad sickness because I had a fever on the plane coming from Tokyo all the way.
That damn immune system, bro.
States. Exactly.
Get out of the control. Like, what are we doing?
Wearing a mask, man.
I should have been. I wish I was. And it was like right around the time that we were hearing about like COVID being a thing and whatnot in like China and whatnot. But now it was in China, so we didn't think it'd come to Japan or anything.
It'll never come over. That'd be silly. Yeah. Like, that wouldn't affect us at all.
Think, you know?
Yeah.
How naive we were.
Yeah. So during the flight, all of a sudden I started getting really hot. And I was like, damn, what is up? And I started pointing like all the little fans overhead onto me and whatnot. And I couldn't cool down, and I started feeling worse and worse and worse. And then like looking back on it, it was like all the same symptoms of having COVID. I had this fever that just wouldn't break regardless of what I ate and the medications I took. So I was so sick. Like,
you probably did have it.
Probably.
Yeah. You're probably spreading it is what you were doing.
Yeah, you're super spreader. You went to the airport with that shit? What's wrong with you?
You brought it to Japan. It was you.
It probably was you. It was unbelievable. This
it got
breaking
to Japan
news.
Through Naha. It was
right
definitely
here.
Through you, man.
Talk to me about going to OCSI, though, because that's a weird move you have to make, like switching schools. You're still in Okinawa, but that's a very big difference going to on-base school to now going to a school out in town. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so my dad had retired February of that year, so while I was still a sophomore, and we were really hoping that, like, with the job that he had gotten on-base, that I'd still be able to continue school at Kubasaki. But
you would think
like,
so.
Yeah, they're saying that apparently like his job doesn't cover like on-base school and whatnot. Oh. So I think the cost for attend Kubasaki was like
it's ridiculous,
roughly a college tuition.
It is.
He should have at least
insane.
Finished the
it's
year.
Insane.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Kubi. Like I love Kubi, man, but it's not like a nice private school. You know what I mean?
No,
like this isn't state of the art by any means. This is not at all.
Exactly.
Brown water and everything. Thing like it was nah
that's unbelievable that like I'm sure they have reasons for it, but just like saying, hey, I know you're American military kid, I know you speak English, and you were just going to dump you off to some like school out
pretty
in town
much.
We're just like, yeah, and then also your dad's retired, we're also not going to help you move back to the States. Like they're just kind of like, we brought you out here, and you know, it's your job to figure out how to get back, you know, it's up to
you.
Come
you
on.
Can figure out how to get home.
Yeah,
literally.
Yeah, you're resourceful. You got it. Literally. Exactly. And then just bring COVID with you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. going to OCSI though, OCSI, like honestly, I had a very negative view going into OCSI.
Yeah.
Because you know, I didn't want to leave Kubi. But I had just done 2 years at Kubasaki.
He was leaving his homies, man.
Transferring. Yeah. And the bus ride to it's like in Yomitan. So it was like a 40-minute bus ride every morning. I was like, I've never had to do this ever because I lived on Camp Foster.
Yeah,
I never
yeah,
had to take a long
just walk
bus.
To school, man.
Exactly. But the culture of OCSI is like very, it feels very Okinawan. Like, I don't know how else to put it. It's like when you go out in town and everyone's like super friendly and inviting and welcoming and whatnot.
Yeah.
So they made it really easy for me to like feel content and being okay
That's
at
nice.
Being at OCSI. So I'm grateful to the people that I had met there, but obviously I wish I got to stay.
You didn't want to go there, though.
No, I didn't want to go there at first. I hated it.
I just know we kicked their ass in, like, all of the sports. So that's,
yeah.
I mean, and then we're like, making them play American sports against us, but I just...
We didn't win very often. We had to take
class.
What we got.
That's all we could win.
The entirety of their high school is like 100 people, like literally 100
That's
people.
That's ridiculous. They must play
and
every
after
sport.
I left, it dropped to 99. So
they went down to double digits.
Literally, I was what a shame, oh my gosh. I didn't realize how small of a school it was till I realized I had classes with all of the same people every class. So it was pretty easy for me to like get along with them, considering I'm seeing them all hours of the day.
Well, that's good, because if you like didn't like someone, then you just stuck with them. So it's a good thing that you did like them, because you didn't have anyone else to change to.
Nowhere to go to. I felt that way at Kubi sometimes, man. Like, that felt so tight-knit. Like, maybe not the entire school, but just, like, the classes are, like, less than 100 kids sometimes. It's like, you know everyone. We're seeing the same kids every day. It's kind of strange comparing that to stateside school.
Mine was, like, 113 when I graduated. It was not – it was pretty – and I think mine was one of the bigger ones, too, honestly.
Probably.
OCSI's graduating class of 2021 was like 13 people.
Like, imagine being like last in that class.
Live. Yeah, I was watching the graduation I was like, man, this shit's quick.
You just gotta start telling colleges you were top 13 in your school.
Exactly.
Like, oh, okay, you did good.
Oh, this guy's unbelievable. He lived overseas, top 20 in his class.
How many people are in your class? 20?
Does that matter? I don't think it does. Do you guys remember your first time getting to Okinawa? Because for me that was like a big culture shock. I'm like, what is happening to me? I was like so excited about first, you know, hearing the news I was moving there. But then I got there, I'm like, hold up, man. Like this is a little much for me.
It was different.
I remember it.
But yeah. I already knew people though. Cause like I had a friend named Max, or Maximo was his name, and
you knew Maximo.
We've had this conversation before. That's how I met you. That's literally how I met you. I met this guy named Maximo, and I used to play basketball with him in high school in Cali. And he moved to Cali from Oki, and he knew like a bunch of our friends. Like he knew my friend Glick, he knew my friend Dylan, he knew Yannick, and then so he introduced me to them. Through him, I don't talk to him anymore. I don't. It's kind of bad of me, but I still talk to a bunch of them. Sorry, Maximo, if you're seeing this, like,
hi. It's a dope name.
But that's how I met Yannick, and so it was a little easier for me coming in because I didn't have to redo like introductions and stuff. I was already talking to them when I like got on base.
Yeah, that's nice. Lucky. Yeah, a big part of it is definitely having. If you just have like one or two connections, it can make a big difference. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Did you know anyone, Yannick? Yeah.
I did not know anyone.
Yeah.
Like, I moved there right before sixth grade started. And we had moved there during a typhoon.
Perfect.
So I remember getting off the plane and, like, literally, like, choking to death because of the humidity. Like, I had never been
to the system, respiratory system.
Allergies, man.
Yeah.
Allergies.
It is humid. It's ridiculous.
Was breaking your wrist.
Yeah. We don't have to get into that. it was a wild experience. I was really excited though. Mainly because I was an anime nerd as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Still watch anime, obviously, but like I was so excited. I was like, yo, I get to try authentic ramen. I think one of the first places that I went to, our sponsor took us to like a ramen shop out in Mihama. You know where like the what was it called? The little like arcade place
in Sega.
Sega, yeah, right next to Sega. There's a there's a ramen shop there, and that was the first place I'd ever went.
I think I've been there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't love ramen. But...
the ramen there was unbelievable. I don't know if I went to that specific place, but the ramen in Oki is not. I haven't had much of theirs. Yeah.
I haven't had. I mean, the best ramen I've had was from it. It just isn't my favorite in general. My favorite dish.
Understandable. Well, so what was first impressions of Kubi, Yannick? Like, I know Lester. Lester was all – first of all, Lester looks like a prison. Like, I lived on Camp Lester for like a year or two. Like, that place looks desolate. Like, my sister went there. I'm like, are you okay? Like, I had to check up on her sometimes. I'm like, do they have any decorations? It's just like this white building, this white concrete.
Exactly. Yeah. An abandoned hospital right next to it too.
I checked that place out.
My first impressions of Lester, I had no idea what the, because I didn't do any like the tours or anything like that. like I showed up for orientation and then that was it. Like the parent teacher thing where you get like your schedule and whatnot and then you walk out and leave. Like we didn't go on any of the tours after that. We just picked up the schedule and dipped. So when I actually started school there, I remember like getting lost going up and down the stairs and that like really stupidly made like stairway, like right next to the library. I tripped on that on my first day and it sucked. it was really embarrassing, obviously, as a sixth grader, because everything's embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the worst thing that's ever happened to you.
Exactly.
School with no pants on or something like that. Like, first impressions, man.
The same.
Yeah. I think like I met Alex Saber on
Saber
or something. Yeah.
that guy.
I met him on the bus because he was walking around with like his trombone or whatever he played at the time. And then like all of us had like DSIs on the bus.
Hey,
I was like, hey, can I play Smash with you guys? yeah, but that's how I made like a lot of the connections that led into Kubasaki, and so it was a pretty easy transition to Kubasaki.
That's good. That's like, good.
Okay, you know. And I have one friend whom Mateo knows because we played video games with over summer, but he ended up moving like right, I think like the first month into like high school. But I'm still really close friends with him today. One of the handful of friends that, you know, like you get that feeling as a military kid, like, oh, I think I'm gonna stick around with you for a fat minute.
Yeah.
You know?
You can feel that sometimes.
He's
exactly.
One of those people along with Mateo. So.
I don't know who we're talking about. Are you talking about Raph?
Raph. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Never mind. Okay. I do know who you're talking about. I was like, who are you talking about?
Like, not tracking.
But yeah.
Wait, so your guys is yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, your freshman year was respect, 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 right? Doc Mel?
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's what an introduction. What an introduction. That's how you get it done. That is awesome. See, you guys, that was just the normal. You weren't there the year before where it was just a shit show. And then he comes in, lays down the law of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't messing around.
Man.
Yeah, we came in.
I love Doc Mel.
Old Doc Mel.
He was the GOAT. He changed that school so quickly. It was actually unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like,
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, it was.
I'd heard from Alex Saber like how different the change was.
Yeah, it felt like a different place, honestly. Like everyone just like hated Kubi side. The people who went to Kubi hated Kubi, and I mean I think that stuck around a little bit, but he, I don't know, he like instilled school spirit somehow. Like I don't know how like some old guy shows up
respect,
and now
respect,
everyone
respect.
Just loves Kubi. Yeah, respect, respect, respect.
That's good.
Yeah. It was cool. It was like the little things that he did, like the pillars on the walkways. He painted those green and white, and it was like it was stupid, but it looks less like a prison, you know, like it was less Lester vibes, which is nice.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but did he pass away?
He did, unfortunately. I just talked about this on my last podcast too.
Really?
It's so sad. Yeah. Well, the guy I was interviewing, he didn't know, and he started talking about it. And I'm like, rest in peace. And he's like, he was joking. He's like, yeah, wouldn't that suck if he died? I'm like, what?
I got to break the news to you, man.
Yeah, no, okay.
I'm sorry, man.
I'm not used to delivering this message exactly. That's tough.
He's going to tell him.
Yeah, exactly, man. And yeah, and that real shame, obviously. I don't think he was in good health while he was at Kubi, and I think that's end up why he had to leave. But
it's possible.
Awesome.
The principal that came after him, Mr. Strait, was actually pretty solid too.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
I don't think Yannick ever got to meet him, but he was like a retired like Marine Warrant officer or something. Mm-hmm. He was pretty solid. Super respectful
that's
guy,
awesome.
Cared about the school, loved it. I know our sergeant major tried to get in contact with him and put more stuff into the JROTC because he knew he was a prior Marine. Oh, I can milk this. And I was like, oh, okay.
Gotta seize the opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't blame him. Mateo, what do you remember, like, freshman year Kubi? Like, high school is just, like, weird as it is. Like, you're, like, it seems so much bigger than what it actually is. You, like, you got all these classes to go to.
It was a little different because you got to figure first semester I went to school in Cali.
Right.
It was shockingly I went in there and you can't imagine how shocked I was, because my new school that I was going to was more ghetto than my school in Cali. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, why does it look so like old here? But like the people were like, there was a lot less people and they were a lot nicer. So I was like weird. Like I remember, I don't know if you guys know her, Kenna. Like she gave me
Kenna.
Like a,
Kenna Wells.
Yeah, she was the first Okie person I met. She gave me a tour around the school. And I was like, bro, my last school, I didn't get a tour. I was like, I remember my last school. I got lost, showed up at my math class during lunchtime. And I was like, what? And he was just eating a sandwich. Like, why are you here? But meanwhile, this school, I'm getting a tour. Like, people are showing me where to go. And so I loved it from the beginning. I was like, this is such a better environment. Like, I feel like I'm going to be happy here. And I was right. I was really happy.
Yeah, that environment, whenever you have, like, just, like, all Dodea kids, like, all military kids mm-hmm. together, it really is just, like, a big difference. And, like, I hear that all the time. It's, like, it's just such an easier environment to adapt to, because everyone's been in each other's shoes before. Yeah. They know what it's like.
And you're only the new guy for, like, maybe a week straight.
Yeah.
And then there's no another person that comes in, and I'm like, yes! It's not me anymore.
Yeah, and I don't even think anyone is like really thinks that way. Like no one, like whenever you move to a public school, like you are the new kid. Like that's literally what people like think of you as. Like, oh,
where'd you come from? Why'd you move here? Like, what?
Yeah. People, like I was called new kid for like a semester, like straight. I think like,
exactly.
It's like that's literally what it's like, and you can't shake that. And like you're just like praying, someone else, please move in.
That's what happened when I moved to the new school out in Yucca Valley after coming from Okinawa. They kept on calling me new kid. I'm like, yo, bro, look, I'm new, but I've got a name. Come on. It's been a month now.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. Like,
no, trust me.
And it's weird because like you're new to them, but that's it. Like you're not like you've been around. Like it's not like everything revolves around this high school environment. Exactly.
It's like, it's not like I've never been to high school before.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. I'm like, bro. I made it through middle school and I hit high school. Like I wasn't born yesterday.
You didn't just like spawn in yesterday, right? Like high schools are weird, man. They have no concepts. Like they don't understand. Yeah. It really is. It's a strange thing where they think like the entire world revolves around a stupid, you know, high school environment, which is, it's a shame, but it's silly. And then we all graduate and we realize that it was all pretty meaningless.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Culture shock.
Yeah, that is the culture shock. Graduating high school,
literally, like, that didn't matter. I was working like you work up to like get good grades and stuff and build a social life, get good SAT scores, and you get into college and you're like, my college didn't even take my SAT score. Like they didn't care.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, you're in. I was like, bro, I was like, what was all that for then?
Yeah, at the most, it's like it's for a few numbers, right? It's like SAT, GPA, maybe.
Yeah.
At the most, but other than that, you know, they don't care. They do not care. What would you guys – do you guys have a connection with the Okinawan community? Obviously, Yannick, you end up going to school at OCSI, so that's a pretty – I don't know a better word than intimate, but, you know, you're actually, like, meeting other people. You know, you're getting more involved. And I know, Mateo, you said no thanks all the time to going out. But did that change ultimately? Like, how did you feel your relationship was with, like, local Japanese?
To be fair, it only went like that – I was only like that for, like, the very beginning. Like, Yannick knows, like, second semester, like, I ended up opening up a lot more. Stop saying eventually. I said no to you, like,
it took a long time.
Like, it was not a lot.
Your name in his phone was no thanks. How bad does it have to be?
It was a lot.
But yeah,
like,
no,
I remember there was like a week straight. I was asking him to come outside or hang out or whatever. He'd be like, no thanks, no thanks, no thanks. I was like,
well, I was poor. I just moved there. You're like, do you want to go to the food court? And I'm like, what? Watch you eat? Like, I'm not going to go. I'm like, what am I going
to
do?
I didn't have money either. I just wanted to go there. Food court was the spot.
Yeah, people just
it was the
there.
Spot. It was the spot.
Weirdly enough. And then there was also the spot. Which
the
is
spot,
totally
yeah.
There was the spot that no one went to, ironically. The spot was not the spot.
It was not. It was not. Definitely not the spot. They had the teen center. For some reason, there's never any teens at the teen center. Pretty strange how that...
I went on like a tour there and I like looked at it and I was like, dang, that's crazy. And just like never went back.
Yeah.
And I went to a teen center throughout all middle school and beginning of high school in Cali. And I came here and I was like, I'm good.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about it. I feel like if you're trying to appeal to teens with a spot like that, it doesn't work for some reason.
Well, for Yannick and me, it was also like it was inconvenient because we lived right next to the school. Mm-hmm. Like I lived in the little cul-de-sac right in front of the school. Like it was a 2-minute walk for me. I woke up at like 6:40, got changed, brushed
right
my
there?
Teeth, and walked to school. Yeah.
Did you
and then meanwhile, Yannick was
Patton?
In like the towers. Yeah, he lived like two houses down from me.
Yeah, I
like
remember
he was
right
on the
there.
left side. I was on the far back.
Mm-hmm. Another weird
kid. Yeah.
Just... Love him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, Nick was a little different. It's all right,
wait, Nick Patton?
Yeah.
Oh, he was my homie. I love Nick. He's in the Marines now. It's kind of crazy.
He's a Marine now, yeah.
That is wild. Mm-hmm. I talked to him before he went to boot camp. I had him on the show. He's a great guy. I just remember like he was.
Yeah.
I'm not going to expose him.
he had a sense of humor for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's say that.
You can say that. Anyways, let's see. Let me get another question. Do you guys favorite memories from the island? Favorite or spots to hang out? What do you guys like to like? Whenever you meet someone new and they're like, "You live in Okinawa? What was that like?" What's the number one thing that you think of? Like, what's the PTSD that comes back?
Oh, I don't know about PTSD, but it was definitely
PTSD, or like good flashback.
Good flashback, it was definitely American Village for me, or the seawall. Uh-huh. Like easily, I always tell people about them. I was like, "Look up pictures. Like, it looks awesome." I tell them about like places I would eat and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And me and Yannick always hung out, so I don't know. I can't think of anything in particular that like I thought that we did was that crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have anything, Yannick. I'm not.
A little different. So for me, like,
he's like, yeah, when I was hanging out with everyone else but Mateo.
Yeah. My favorite spot was Araha Beach because eventually I moved off base. I was like right outside the commissary gate. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that bad, you know. I just cross the bridge and I'm on base. But I would love going down to Araha Beach and just like chilling there. I'd walk over there and it's like maybe like a quarter mile, and then mm-hmm. I just sit and get lost in my thoughts, and I'd be there for like 2-3 hours, and all of a sudden the sunset. But I loved going there, and it was really easy living off base. I prefer living off base than living mm-hmm. on base. Because I could just like bike over to Lester or bike on base, you know.
Yeah.
You know Colby Galbraith?
Yeah, he lived on
I
Lester
Colby.
At the same time I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Colby's my man. He's a wingman, bro. I love him.
I love Colby. What him and I used to do while I was living off base, like my parents for some reason decided that off base was the right time to give me more freedom.
Wonderful.
It's ironic.
Yeah. Ironically. I remember one time I like slept over at his place, over on Lester, and then we didn't go to sleep at all. So we ended up like walking to some ramen place in American mm-hmm. Village at like 2 a.m. We walked like 2 miles
That's
to get some ramen at 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. It was hype. And like hanging out at the seawall was always a lot of fun too.
Yeah.
As you know, as everyone else did, but it was still fun, you know.
The funniest mm-hmm. thing was going to the seawall with like a group of friends and then seeing like people you know
another
down there.
Group of friends
and it's like I know those guys. Like what are they doing here?
Or else
and you gotta make the decision of whether or not you're gonna say hi or just like pretend like you never saw them.
Exactly.
Maybe that's just me.
I lived in Araha my first year on the island. We lived off base mm-hmm. in an apartment. It was a yellow apartment building.
Yeah.
It was like literally right next to Raha. And yeah, it's really cool. It was like 30-second walk to the pirate ship they had there, which is just like really dope, by the way. Like a pirate ship, like playground.
Yeah,
like a
playground thing?
Pirate ship was
yeah.
Fun.
I forgot about that.
If I was 6 years old, that would have been the coolest thing I've ever experienced.
Right?
Yeah.
I would
have
lost
like a zip line going down from the sail, like down to the beach. I'm like, what?
I would have definitely broken something. Like I would have jumped 100%. Off.
100%. Yeah.
Like trying
it was
to push
like full
them
size.
Off the zip
that shit was the scale, man. That was crazy.
That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, but that'd be a cool story if you broke something, you know? How'd you break your arm? I fell off a pirate ship.
Yeah,
that's hype.
Ship in Japan. Yeah.
In Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the Raha Beach. It was so mm-hmm. pretty. And the people were always super nice if you bumped into them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember this, but like there'd always be like a whole bunch of cats. everywhere.
Yep.
There would be a lot of stray cats, yeah.
Yep. I was sitting down one time just eating like food. Ice cream or something, and a cat came by and just sat next to me. I was like,
what's
hey.
A little homie?
Yeah.
Cat walked up and said, hey, just chilling here? Let me join.
You just dab him up?
Like, what's good, man?
I gave the cat my ice cream when I was done with it. He didn't like it, but, you know.
What? I mean, that's why he's lactose intolerant, yeah. Yeah, whenever I explain to people American Village, it's weird because it's ironically not very American at all. Just like the Okinawan concept of America is just hilarious to me, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, there's A&Ws everywhere. Like,
exactly. Right? What the fuck? Ferris wheel? It's always Christmas.
Yeah, it's always
Christmas. I'm always like, yeah, it's Chinatown, but like American. They're like, it's what they think
weird,
we are.
And weird,
they're
yeah.
like, there's Santa Claus and like pirates for some reason. And like a lot of ice cream, and so like I don't know.
Yeah, there was like a cardboard cutout of Michael Jordan, but instead of 23, he was 32 on his jersey. Like just like weird stuff like that. It's just
random.
Like, so close. There was right next to the Sega too. I guess this would be near the Robin place. There was like this giant Philly cheesesteak on the wall, and it was like the most disgusting thing. It was like bright yellow cheese. It was just not a Philly cheesesteak, obviously. Yeah, just
I remember,
like weird.
At least they tried.
Yeah, at least they tried.
I remember I laughed so hard one time because I was inside the Sega, and you know, there's I don't know if it's still there or it was when you were there. There was like a bread like cart, and they would make bread there. There was an old lady making bread inside the Sega, and I was like, oh, kind of dope. And I was like, wait, what's she listening to? I recognize that. Mind you, this is some like 90-year-old old Okinawan lady. She's playing full-on, uncensored, Break Your Neck, Busta Rhymes. And she's bopping like N-bombs back to back to back. And I'm like, what is this lady listening to? And I turn over and it's just this old lady like holding this bread. And I'm like, what's happening? Like first year in Okinawa. And I'm like, what's going on?
Culture shock, man. And that's whenever you like text your stateside friends and you explain that to them, like there's no, you can't tell the story good enough for them to understand like how riveting that is to your system.
The shock I was seeing, I was like, what is this lady doing? Like coming from like California where they're like super like, kind of like, whoa, that's not like okay to say. Like they're very like careful about that kind of stuff.
PC,
so they come on fully uncensored in like a public area, like kids running around.
Yeah, and like, she's totally happening? Safe. Like, she's chilling. Like, she is in absolute no danger.
I guarantee you she has no idea what's playing. Like, yeah, I guarantee you she does not know what he's saying. And I'm like, oh my God. I didn't say anything. I just kept walking.
In the back of the Sega, there was, like, this, like, virtual horse racing, horse betting, like, center. Do you remember that?
I don't know.
No.
What?
I don't think I remember that.
It was this really weird thing where like these like old men would sit in these booths and they would just gamble on these virtual horse races. It was insane. They just sit there. Like it's
I don't
like
think
totally.
He went to the back insane. Rooms of the Sega. I've heard of that. And I went there so many times.
No, I swear. Back right, man. Back right. There's this virtual horse track where they watch these CGI horses race in circles with like PlayStation 2 graphics tops.
No way.
Like. And they're betting on them with real money. Yeah, they got like people serving them food. Yeah,
oh my God,
weird stuff. Because at first I'm like, oh, it's a horse racing game, right? Like, they're playing as a horse. Like that's also weird. But no,
they're betting on horse races that aren't actually real.
They're betting on it.
Betting on fake horses.
Betting on
exactly.
AI.
No way they're even making much either.
God.
Like, where's their money going if it's virtual horses? Like, the machine's just eating it.
Yeah, like, they got, like, a hunch on, like, a certain horse. They're like, man, he's looking good today. Yeah, I don't...
That AI looks especially tough.
Yeah, he's got what it takes. Well-bred right there, that horse. Nice stallion. You guys... any other culture shock stories before I move on? Anything else that comes to mind?
Just that people are really nice, I guess.
Yeah.
Like people will try to talk to you, and that like throws me off like a lot. Like, cause like where I was in Cali, like you see like the homies sitting on the street corners. You're like, let's cross the street and like go on the other side. Like I don't want to interact with that guy. He's kind of big, and he looks like he wants money. Like, meanwhile, you're in Japan,
still like that
you're just
out
walking
here.
Around. Yeah, exactly. Because that's just how it is. And so, meanwhile, in Japan, you're walking around, people are like greeting you and stuff, like a lot of bowing. And I'm like, yo, like,
tons of
relax.
Bowing. Yeah.
It's like, I'm just like some dude, like, I'm like 15 or whatever, like, chill. And they're like, thank you, or whatever. I'm like, whoa. And then the food's like better.
Oh, the food is unbelievable. I tell people, like, the price, too, is just, like, it's like
it was nothing. It was, like, $1 or nothing. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
$6 is the best bowl of ramen I ever had.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Bro,
yeah.
you could go into Lawson's, like, starving with, like, $5 in your pocket and come
you're
out
chill.
Full.
Yeah. You could go in there with $3 and have enough for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Exactly. Yeah, chicken sandwich, some, like, sodas, some other stuff.
And a hentai magazine. You're all gone. I'm pretty sure that was Lawson's.
Oh, my bad.
Went to a different place.
It's always, like, in the far corner, sitting right there.
Right next to the horse race. Yeah.
Whenever I go to malls and they have, like, an anime store or a comic store, I'd always be like, yo, I guarantee you the back of this store... Like, that's where the crazy stuff
weird
is.
Shit going on.
And so
yeah.
I would go straight to the back of the store. Pass.
Oh my god.
And I'm like, I just want to know. And I just see this wall. It's just dimly lit. And it's all like the girls from my high school, like all like looking at books and stuff. And I was like, why are you guys here? Like looking around.
Yeah.
I can't, man. And then I ran away.
Weird. Yeah, weird stuff like that. Weird stuff. Do you guys ever do like the high school exchange program where like you went to the Japanese high school and then like they would come toward? Do you do that? Do you take Japanese?
I never
did. I wish I could have.
Dude. It was awesome. Yeah. That's a shame. You guys were too busy in ROTC. Yeah. Did you have Menendez?
Bro, I hid from her. She would say hi. She would try to talk to me like lunch and I'd like run away. Yeah. He'd be like, hola, que tal, niño? I was like, no. Stop. Scared me.
She was like, bro.
Yeah. I was like,
I did take Japanese.
Edna mode.
Ew.
Edna mode, exactly.
I did take Japanese out there, but I didn't get the chance to do the exchange thing.
Dude.
I don't remember why or how I ended up not doing it, but I remember
wanting. Did you have tour?
I did have tour, yeah.
Just beg them.
Get on your hands and knees, bro.
If you annoy him enough, he'll fold.
I remember like learning nothing in that class.
Yeah.
Enough, it was one of the easiest classes I'd ever taken for Japanese in my life because I learned nothing.
Bro, I didn't want to expose Nick, but I have to. In Tor's class every day, he would just sit in the back corner of the room. Never did work. He sat in the back corner and he had a girl, his arm around two different girls at the same time.
What?
Yes. Not doing work. He's just sitting there with like two girls.
Rizzing up these random girls.
Yeah, he's just, what are you doing? And what a guy. I don't remember the girls' names, thankfully, because I knowing me, I'd probably say them, but
just name
he was unhinged. I think one of them had a boyfriend, too. You cannot trust Nick.
They definitely did. No, I can just imagine him walking out of class and going to his girlfriend afterwards, like, both the girls. It's like, yo.
Nick was like that. He was him.
Nick had Riz, bro. More than me at that when I was in high school, man. I didn't have nothing.
Yeah, just overwhelming confidence for no real reason from Nick there. But I mean, it worked out for him. But yeah, Tours class, you could like cheat on every test, man. Like he did not care.
I cheated on the final exam.
What? You got your phone out during the exams and like a laptop. He wouldn't say anything. I had the textbook out. He knew I was so bad at it, though. I'd fail anyways. Yeah.
It was Google Translate for everything in that class.
He didn't care.
We were struggling in Spanish class. Because my first year I took it, I had Miss... I'm forgetting her name. She was... Yeah, Miss Wooten. She was amazing.
You had Erica?
But she went on maternity leave. So the entire... I just didn't have her. Oh, and so we had some sub-attempting... No! She's pregnant, bro. And so, like, I went in there, didn't learn anything from this random sub who's having this dude crap online. And then they throw me into Menendez's class. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to have full-on conversations with me. And I'm just looking at her, like, my eyes glazing over. Like, I don't know what's happening.
Deer in headlights.
They're, like, people in the class who are, like, from, like, Mexico and Spain and stuff, like, not knowing what's happening. And I'm like, guys... You speak the language. Like, yeah,
still
we don't know what's
That's
going
what
on.
Know.
Oh no, I'm screwed then.
Oh Edna, man, she was also like 4 foot nothing. Like she was one of the smallest humans I've seen.
Just with a really big head. Like everything else was
weird
small.
Proportions. Yeah. weird proportions.
It was I don't know if I'd use that word for him.
Whatever. Dodea has like a lot of this. Like, there's a lot of really good Dodea teachers. Don't get me wrong, but there's also those teachers that are like well past their prime. They're just like collecting that nice Dodea paycheck and hanging around, like not really doing a whole lot. And like, I don't they still have a job.
Did you guys ever have Mr. Beaver? Like when he was still teaching.
Oh, rest in peace. Legend. Yeah, once again. Yeah, I'm glad we all know. I didn't want to break any more news.
He freaking bless his heart. It was time for him to retire because I would go into that class. He'd like have you open the textbook, write down the vocab words, and then define them. The definitions were in the textbook, so I just write the definitions down, and then at the end of class, he'd be like, all right, everyone, turn in your papers, and then he'd be like, it's time for current events, and he'd just read the newspaper to us, and I was
awesome.
A-plus in world history, I'm like, I don't know.
There's a lot of teachers like that there, man, that, like, I don't know how that works, and they're not evaluated or anything, like, there's nobody who's like...
They're on contract or something, they had to be.
But then the principal comes in and sits in the class, and they're just world class all of a sudden. It's like, oh my goodness.
Switch so fast.
Yeah.
What was this the rest of the year?
Yeah. It's like all of a sudden they know everything. I'm like, wait, do you know what you're talking about?
Did you ever know Mr. Windham out in Leicester?
I didn't.
He was like so much fun. Like this really nice old ass black dude. I don't know how to put it.
Cool.
He feels like the pop from like down the street, you know, like he's everybody's uncle.
What are you talking about?
Sing the same song like every single day. He was so much fun and everyone loved him.
He made you sing a song?
No, he would sing a song. Yeah. And it was just the same exact song like every single day, and I'm not about to try to sing it because I'm not as good of a singer as he is.
Come on, Yannick, I feel like I'm there. I need to understand.
You can't just say that, man.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm not gonna try that.
Was it the song that the bread lady was singing?
Busta Rhymes.
He'd be all right.
Oh, I hope so.
he was so much fun, and he's also one of those teachers where I was like, are you sure you're still supposed to be teaching? You know, I feel like a little just past chilling. Your prime as well.
Do you guys have Miss Corley at Coovy?
Miss Corley? I know the name. Corley. I never had her.
No.
Is she on the second floor?
Exact same
floor
way.
Of
second floor, right next to Milanovich. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had Milanovich.
I did Corley for a little bit.
Yeah. No, Milanovich is a good teacher. He's
a good teacher.
Energy.
His class is
Miss Corley,
crazy, though.
Different, totally different. Mm. Like polar opposites. Yeah, she would fall asleep during class. Like,
fell
her face
asleep
on
in
her
class
keyboard.
With her.
Yeah.
I'd see her start dozing off. I'm like, all right, good. I'm going to bed too.
No.
Dude, I remember like on the final exam that I had in Miss Corley's class, I got a C on it and I was pissed. I'm like, what? Like, first of all, we didn't learn anything all year. The exam was on like a bunch of stuff nobody knew. All my friends got A's on it. I got a C. So I go in there the day after the last day of school just to talk about it. She was already packed up. She was on vacation already. Like,
there
usually the teachers are there for like another week, like finalizing grades and stuff. They got meetings. No, she was long
like,
gone.
I've been waiting. She's like, she's I've been packed gone. Up since 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, I guess that's it. Send her an email, nothing back. So, that grade was toast for me. I don't, that was a shame. That entire school, man, it was Mr. Beaver. One time I held the door for him, and this tells you how much of a sweetheart he was. I held the door for him and he walks through and he didn't say anything at first, but he takes a few steps into the building. He turns around to me and he goes, "You'll get your reward in heaven, son." I'm like, okay, sounds good, buddy. Sounds good.
I always saw him biking to school. Like he would come to school over the bridge on
like
the
a madman
in like his sandals and shorts, and then I come into class like 10 minutes later, and he was in a full suit. I was like, "How did you get changed so quickly? And where did you get changed? And where's your bike?"
Well, he'd be doing several miles, like uphill.
Yeah.
I like he'd beat my school bus. It was crazy.
Whoa.
Yeah. Do you guys remember, there's some guy on Leicester that I always saw while I lived there. He always had, like, these socks pulled all the way up to his knees, and he just, like, walked back and forth across the soccer yes, field. Back and forth. I had him for a teacher. You had him?
Oh, my
what was
God.
Up with him, bro? Bro, he scared me so much. I'd walk outside, I'd see him, I'd go right back inside. Like, the scariest man I've ever seen.
See, it's funny. The way he would talk, he'd go, no. You better get your stuff right. And he's always pointing his crinkly ass fingers yeah. at you. So close to your face. I'm like, okay, I get it.
Imagine plot twist. He's not even a teacher. He just shows up at the school. Like his tall size.
I would not be surprised.
Some he's random guy.
It's like he's preparing for something that we don't know about. Like, he knows something, man.
He knows something that we don't. Sure. Yeah. Those knee-high socks, find out. That was a sign.
He knew COVID was coming. Exactly. Like, this will help.
Yeah. Dude, God. The COVID that Yannick brought to the island, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
My father wiped out.
Dude, the highest mean age in the world, isn't it? Like, one of the oldest populations on Earth. How
yeah.
could you do that? Wow.
I think, like, the longest living people, like, live in Oki. Like, that's...
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, it makes sense, though. Like, after you go there, like, those people are happy, they are chilling, and they are old. They're just hanging out.
They just live the island life their entire life. Just
in their concrete boxes.
Yeah.
All the buildings are made out of concrete too. That was
literally yesterday I tried to explain like what Oki looks like, and I was like, this isn't gonna make sense, but I was like, imagine like the ghetto but safe. They're like, what? And I was like, it's like the projects, but like I'm like, there's the graffiti, there's the concrete, everything there, except no one's in danger. I'm like, everyone's just kind of hanging out.
The projects, like, but successful.
You're walking.
And lots of cats.
The finished project. Like, that's out of the drafts. Like, you walk out and you're like, whoa, this place looks like ghetto as fuck. And then you see, like, some 4-year-old just walking to class. I was like, why are you
by himself, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you lost? Are you okay?
Like, where are you going, little boy? Like, you know what? Stay there. This is a trap.
Yeah.
No, man.
It's an incredibly unique place. It's just like, yeah, you're right. It's just the concrete, and then there's just jungle, just like dense rainforest, like type shit. It's like, okay. Like on the
assholes
backside of Gooby.
Randomly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Habu Canyon. Did you ever go down Habu Canyon?
Habu Canyon?
I don't know.
Yeah, like a little like road next to Kubasaki in between like the tower and the school, you know, like that road that would like go all the way down.
Oh, yeah. It's like a big hill, That's what they called it?
With like the bridge at the bottom of it with all the water and stuff, like over the lake? Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that had a name. Oh, Running the Habu. Is that why they called it that?
Yeah.
The Habu Run.
Oh. I thought it was just because it was like windy like a snake, I'm gonna be honest.
No, it was called Habu Canyon. What me and my friends used to do when we were in middle school, we'd like go around the bridge and then like try not to fall. Into like the fucking water and whatnot. And once we safely get into the water, which wasn't safe at all, there's crabs, couple eels, giant koi fish farther down the river. We'd go like a mile down spear hunting as if we were like in the Stone Ages.
Damn, that's awesome. Wait a minute.
Wait, you went into the water with crabs?
I would never thought it was well before the crab fear.
Oh, was it?
Oh, you ate crabs then?
Yeah,
like
I do.
I know. I don't. I never heard what happened to you. Actually, I just knew you hated crabs.
Well, me and a friend, we went to Akuma Beach, and I'm like 99% sure that this wasn't a dream, but it sure felt like one.
Oh.
We were like out pretty late on Akuma Beach, and then like I was just wandering off my own, like in the sand on the beach and whatnot. And then all of a sudden, like, I feel something pinching at my feet, you know? I'm like, what the fuck am I stepping on? And I look down, it's just a shit ton of crabs, like tiny little crabs.
It's everywhere.
And I bolt back to the cabin that we were staying in, and I look behind me. all those crabs are just following behind from the walls.
It's like Pirates of the Caribbean. Isn't there a scene in like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's sleep paralysis. Crabs, like, crabs are in the walls. They're everywhere.
Crabs are in the wall. Yeah, man, that was a scary experience.
I don't remember Akuma being so like that. Yeah.
They would come. They had a weird attraction to you, low key though. I remember like we were walking around. And, like, I specifically have a video of you and me, like, walking back from, like, the food court, like, across the track area through the gates, mm-hmm. like, behind the bleachers that direction. And there was, like, a weird, like, sewer grate or something, and, like, in a grass field. And a crab just popped up out of it and, like, booked it. And I was like, where did you go? And I have a video of me just looking at the crab. It was like huge. 5 feet away from us. And he was already like past my house. I was like in the road. I was like, why are you gone? It was like a crab. That was like this
around,
big.
Man. He's not messing around.
Oh, I remember that thing being ginormous with his ugly ass claws or pinches or whatever. Yeah. Like, I thought it was the
sewers
to
get you, bro. I'm like, yo. I went to pick him up. He starts swearing me out.
Yeah. That's funny, man. I have a preposterous predicament. It's a segment I like to do on the show. It's like a would you rather question for you guys. So if you don't mind, I need you to take this with the utmost seriousness. Of course, no. This is very serious. Yeah, a lot of people look to this show for advice because these are really applicable scenarios. Okay. Would you rather have your entire life be live streamed 24/7. Everything you do is being live streamed. We'll say, you know, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, you name it. It's being live streamed. Everyone can watch it. Or always have, I don't know the best way. You always have a male genitalia drawn in Sharpie on your forehead. Like permanently. It's got a nice ween just displayed center of the forehead.
My entire life? Are people always watching it, or is it just like open?
Like,
it's just open.
Can I see me taking a shit?
Yes, it'll be live streamed. Yes.
My shit's gonna be live streamed.
I'm just in the shower and people just start dropping donations. Loki, maybe me that one.
What are you talking about?
I mean, if you can profit off of it, you know.
See, that's
you get
hard,
used to it, though. Like,
I'm sure. What if the first like couple years of my life, I'm like, wait, does it like start now, or did it start like when I was born? Like,
it would start now. It's okay. Not like people have.
What if for the next couple of years, I'm just like mad boring, and like everyone's like, screw this, I'm not watching this anymore. And then like later on, maybe that one. I don't know. People would definitely be interested though.
Like, I don't want to.
That's bad.
Shit.
That's really. I want to join the military too. Can you imagine? Nah. That would.
Yeah, you'd have to. You couldn't do that. Yeah, like you got the long hair though. I think you'd be fine. This is an easy.
Yeah, you can hide it.
That's true. I could probably. Yeah, I think I might just go with that because I'm lactose intolerant, but I don't give a shit. So I'm taking 3 shits a day, and I don't think people would want to see that 3 times a day.
I appreciate you sharing that information.
They're gonna see me on the toilet, bro. Just on like TikTok for like 30 minutes. Like,
speaking of the toilet, for some reason with me and Mateo, every time I call this man, I'll call him at the most random times. Like, I just have some shit to talk about. I'm gonna call him, and 90% of the time, he's gonna be taking a shit.
Well, that's why he said he was taking a shit. He was busy.
And he'll be like, "Let me guess." I was like, "Yeah, I'm on the toilet." I'm like, what? I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, it's got to happen sometimes.
It's almost.
At first, I thought it was just unlucky, but like,
So
and then what's
just,
funny
it's
is
the same
as
that.
Like, we both went to school. As we both went to school, like, we started calling a lot less because we've both been like busy with our own lives, and it still happens. Mm-hmm. Like, the times he calls me, he'll call me, and I'll be like, "No, I can't pick up." He's like, "Are you shitting?" And I'm like, "No, I'm peeing." It's like, oh, okay. So you're on the toilet still. I'm like, man, yeah, okay. I thought I got you.
You can't text back while you're peeing.
Yeah, he's standing there, one hand on.
Listen, I got good aim, all right?
Yeah, maybe you don't even need hands. Yeah, I mean,
Nope.
Then maybe people would be really interested in your live stream if you just have the best aim of all time.
You're saying, maybe. Like, I never miss.
You're like 10 feet out.
Yeah. Maybe they're watching. The comments are just like, yo, how's he doing that with no hands? I'm like,
yo. With no hands?
If I can get donations, I think I'd definitely pick that one. Like, can you imagine getting paid?
Oh, yeah, same. If I can get paid just to be watched, shit.
I will say that, yeah.
I'll open a donation box.
But then, like, no privacy, though, for the rest of your life.
Oh, for the rest of my life? Yo, yeah, I want kids. Oh, yeah, my gosh. Like, no internet
I don't know if this is in Twitch see guidelines. More, you're going to get demonetized and then no more donations.
Maybe not.
Oh, demonetization? I'll take the dick on my forehead.
Low-key, probably. Yeah, I think I'll have to do that. Yeah, I better start looking for another job. I'll become a rapper or something, bro. Like, then no one will ask.
Lil Dicky,
that'd be normal.
Lil Dicky, yeah. Lil that one's Dicky. Taken, though.
Who was it? Was it Uzi who got like a jewel installed into his forehead or something?
Yep.
Yeah, he had like it was that, on top.
Except, yeah. Yeah.
Lower it's like body, another dude with like an ice cream cone on his face right here.
For real? Except,
yeah.
I don't know that artist. I don't know. What are you listening to?
I don't remember what his name was. I just remember seeing it online. Oh. No, it was like a tattooed ice cream cone.
Oh, yeah. It was like a physical cone. Ice cream cone sticking out. Like his head is the ice cream? Yeah.
Yeah. No. He said face tats. I mean, hypothetically, you could get like another thing tattooed over. It would have to be like... I don't
a cover up tattoo. You turned like Squidward's face, right?
Yeah, just why is it Squidward on your forehead? It's like, listen, it's better than what it was.
Yeah, but then you have to be like a face tat guy. You can't just have like, just a Squidward. Like, you have to pull it up, right?
It's like, do you have any other tattoos? Nah, this is it.
That's all I got.
That's all I got.
This is the only thing that felt important to me was Squidward right here for everyone.
Like, listen, why are you worried about what I'm doing first of all? This is my face. You don't have to look at it.
Exactly. You can tell. So you guys are going dick? You're going dick on the forehead?
Yeah, I guess we're going dick.
Yeah, I'm taking the dick on the forehead.
All right. That's a tough job. That's going to be a great clip right there. That's going to be great.
No.
I'm glad.
Yeah. Anything for the views, guys, I'm telling you. We got to do this back on track just a little bit. Yeah, all right. Post high school, you guys both said you had tough moves going back to the States. Yeah. That's a tough transition for a lot of kids. So I'm still thinking about the dick on the forehead.
I'm imagining it on the tail.
Yeah, shut up. He's got a big forehead, bro.
You're the only one with their forehead out, so I'm just looking at it.
Hey, man, my forehead's gone. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's not gone. You just got it covered.
Nah, it's gone, bro. You're never going to see it again. Trust me.
Bro, I'm telling you, the first time you're gonna punch me in the face the first time I see you, because I'm gonna push up your hairline like that. But it'll be worth it. I don't even give a shit. Bloody nose. Like, gotcha, bitch.
Sick bastard.
I think we need that on the podcast, guys. I think we need in person, the two of you. Yeah, we'll do live forehead reveal. It'll be a big deal.
Oh no.
It can't be that bad. It's not going to get me demonetized, right?
I'll send you a baby picture. You'll see how bad it is.
His is big. It's like Bart Simpson, bro. It's
huge. Let me find this. I got you for the views, man.
Oh, here we go. Okay, that's great.
I have seen this photo too.
You know what photo it is.
Oh, it doesn't stop. It just keeps going.
It's huge. It is huge.
Bro, his hairline don't start until right here, man.
There you go.
You took one for the team, Yannick.
Not a support.
Everyone watching just screenshotted there, bro.
Absolutely.
Everyone that knows you just screenshotted the camera, man. They all just like mine now.
No one's listening that far, anyways. Trust me. I'll check the analytics, but I think we're chilling. Over an hour in. Yeah, so you guys transitioned back to the States. It was kind of during COVID too. I'm not sure how much we already touched on it so far, but like I said, usually a tough transition. How to leave Oki? What did you miss most about the island? What was like kind of? It's kind of like a reverse culture shock because you're going back to what's familiar in a lot of ways, but you've been out of the loop in a little bit. Was there anything that was like particularly difficult or starkly different?
For me, I mean, like. The culture shock of Yucca Valley. This is a fucked up saying, but they use it in reference to themselves. They're desert rats. So going from like nice Okinawan people who are all kind and loving and caring and whatnot to, you know, desert rats was difficult because they're all assholes and they're also really obviously high schoolers.
Whole community, you know, on blast,
that place.
All of them.
They're all really like stuck up and think that the world revolves around them. Typical high school mindset. But
are they from Cali? Like,
even my sister, she's gonna end up going there pretty soon because she's in middle school right now out in Yucca Valley. And the shit she tells me about, man, like, I remember, like, being in Kubasaki and, like, we'd have to do, like, school shooter drills or whatever, like, rarely.
But one of them wasn't a drill. How much do you remember that one? They wrote a threat on the bathroom stall and they took it serious.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
And they shut down the entire building.
Oh, I saw him the day before, bro.
Yeah.
He was not on island anymore.
But that was like the closest thing to like any sort of like shooting threat or whatever that we ever had on island. Except for, okay, this is totally off topic, but do you remember in Leicester when there was one guy who went like crazy and he like had barricaded himself in one of the houses on Leicester with the guns and whatnot?
I've never even heard of this.
I mean, possibly some of the viewers might, you know, recognize it, but some dude like went berserk and like barricaded himself inside of his house on Leicester, and he had like, I think he had like a gun or something, and a bunch of like the PMO were called and the school was like shut down. We weren't allowed to leave our classrooms or whatnot. It was a little scary, but I mean, it was pretty far into the community on Leicester. But anyway, I think in my sister's middle school, she's had like two or three like actual like shooting threats.
Oh,
like happened.
Really?
So yeah,
You know, I'm not surprised.
Out in
actually,
Yucca Valley. So it's a pretty nasty place, and I kind of hate that place.
Damn, man. So,
I'm not surprised. I had the clown starting to bomb my school in middle school. You remember when the clowns were a thing, like chasing people's cars and stuff?
The killer clowns.
Yeah, and then like my school's response was to put two cops in the front and just keep going to school. We just weren't allowed to bring a backpack. And I was like, how am I supposed to go to school without a backpack? They're like, yeah, you'll just go to school the next day. It'll be fine. Nothing happened, thank God. But if it did, then I would have been done. So
Kubi, didn't they do backpack checks at Kubi one time and everyone had their vapes taken away?
Yeah.
Like it was a big deal.
Yeah. It was a huge line.
Oh God, that was crazy.
People were so mad.
There was a huge line. Like, and then for some reason the teachers were like, why were you late to class? I was like, I was in the line with my backpack checked for nothing.
That's crazy, man.
Please.
No, I insist.
All right. Was that like the whole backpack check? Was that like right after the shooting threat thing?
It might have been. Yeah.
It was.
That's right.
Weird.
It's because didn't know who did it yet. They didn't find out that he had done it until like the next week or something like that.
It's just, I love how that.
Island.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it ended some nicotine addictions at least. That's
cool, man. Nah,
we know they all went back to it.
600's bathroom, man. I'd walk in, it's like the fog of war, man. Like, there was never not a kid in the corner hitting his vape.
Holding their backpack on their lap, just like.
Doing it in class, exactly.
Beans.
I was like, everyone knows what you're doing. I was like, you're not slick, man.
Nah, kids in tourist class for Japanese, they'd sit in 100%. The back just ripping that thing. I'm like, oh my God. I look at them, I look at Mr. Tor, I look at them, Mr. Tor, he does not care.
You don't smell the blueberry, Mr. Tor?
The whole room smells like strawberries. I don't have Febreze in my bag, bro. Like, it's them.
He'd be so willingly oblivious, like he'd be sitting at his desk, like he's jacked, right? Like he acts like his arms can't like fit down at his side, his arms always up, like he can't have them flush to his body for some reason. Funny guy. And you just hear the vapes in the back, like make that like crackling noise or whatever they do, like yeah, the static. It's like, wonder what's going on. Sorry, we got off topic again. What is wrong with Yannick? Move back to the States. This is important.
It's not his fault.
Going back, yeah, clearly Yannick. Going back to the States.
I've got ADHD,
and
man.
It's weird too. Tell me if I'm wrong, but like whenever you're a military kid and you move around, you know that it's all bullshit. Like the high school social environment, you know, like this whole fitting in thing and what these kids think is so important. And you know it isn't because you were just coming from a foreign country where nobody knew these kids. These kids don't mean anything to you, and it's just like now you have to change your entire life to fit in. It's some bullshit. It sucks that you have to like play that game because there's no way around it. That's why I tell people all the time is like you can recognize and call it out for not meaning anything, but at the end of the day, you still need friends. Like you still need to socialize. Yep. You still have to like fit in and in the real world and probably in social media as well. Like it's stupid, but I think the best thing we can do is talk about it. Did you feel that way?
I didn't feel the need to like make friends really.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just so late into high school,
right?
You know,
it was your choice.
I like
Boner era.
I wanna. All right, we're not gonna call it an era. but I was pretty antisocial when I had moved back to the States because I was like, man, I don't want to do this whole like meeting new people thing. Yeah. I like literally had just done it at OCSI, you know, and I really didn't want to do it again. There's so much work, and these people are so vastly different than the people at OCSI because they're all welcoming at OCSI, but then you go there, you've got their established friend groups and whatnot. They're all a bunch of dickheads.
Mm-hmm.
But I got lucky that there are like two or three people whom like have reached out to me whenever I like first moved there, and they like made an effort to become friends with me, and I was like, you know, okay. Friends came to me. I didn't come to friends.
Yeah, those are the best people, man. You never forget those type of people. You'd like
Yannick's one of them for me.
There you go. Exactly.
That's exactly.
And Kenna giving you a tour. Shout out Kenna.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I had kept my friend group like pretty small, just because I didn't feel the need to find another friend group again. And then I only went to that school like 2 months in person before everything shut down because of COVID. We never went back and see during our senior year. It was all virtual, so I really only went to the school for like 3 months or so.
But, and it was that bad still. It was not.
Yeah, it sucks. And somehow, I went out on a limb because somebody who was on like the student council or ASB or whatever, she had reached out to me and told me that I should run for president or whatever in my senior year. And I was like, why would I do that? I know like
no one knows
people.
You.
Exactly.
But I guess this speaks more to how spiteful the people of Yucca Valley are towards each other. But I ended up winning the election.
The Zoom presidency?
Yeah. I ended up winning it because no one liked any of the other three candidates because they all had their own like drama and whatnot. Yeah. I guess I was the only like non-dramatic.
You were the independent candidate.
Exactly. Yeah. Third party, bro.
Yeah.
I was a third party and I wanted
to be above.
Yep.
You know what, pick him.
So yeah, it was a weird experience. I essentially did nothing as senior class president because it was all online. So
that's the moves, bro.
I did the same as junior class president Kubi, and I was in person, so just kind of walking around. Yeah, Mateo, what about you? I knew you already told your nightmare story of traveling back to the States, and then you're going to college and you don't have a home address. What was it like actually like interacting with people, and you're going through your plebe like year at the same time? So this is
fun actually time, I'm sure. I got pretty lucky. So I didn't really have to make any kind of transition because I came directly to my school. And the way they have my plebe year, it's called RUCDUM, right? And it goes roughly from August to November or December. And that's pretty much like they smoke the shit out of you all the time. They make you like, I have to march everywhere I go. I have to like right face, left face if I want to turn corners. I have to greet people. But also in my dorm, they're set up like barracks. So everyone in my platoon lived on my floor. And so I was getting smoked, eating all my meals and going to classes because they have similar, they put similar majors together with all the same people. So they almost force you to become friends with your platoon. So I have, they call them Rook siblings. So my, I don't know if you guys saw me walk away for a second. My Rook sister was banging on my door asking for pre-workout. And I was like, oh, I was like, what do you want? And so she came in and she got some. And so I became super close to these people. Some of my, I've only known them like roughly a year now, but they're some of the closest friends I have other than like Yannick, of course. So I actually got really lucky. I didn't have to change my personality or anything like that because they almost force you to become close to the people around you because they're the only ones you can interact with, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't use my phone or anything like that. I could barely email people. I wasn't meeting any new people. None of the civvies want to talk to you
when
you
have a bald ass head.
I had bald head, bags under my eyes because I was waking up at like 5 every day to PT and going to bed at like 10. Like it was not the moves, man. So it honestly, it was hard, but it worked out in the long run. For me,
do you think that ROTC like actually prepared you like your time doing ROTC?
No,
was there any?
Not at all.
I mean, worth a shot. Yeah.
Very slightly with like, I was big into like the drill team and stuff when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Like I really enjoyed that. And I was tight with Sergeant Major Cook because of that. So I knew how to drill. And that was the extent of it. Like they had me like, they had me working out like a lot more than I had ever worked out, doing a lot more calisthenic stuff. So like they had me, I was doing a crap ton of burpees and like sit-ups and lunges and stuff like that. Stairway to Heaven workouts, sprints and stuff, and I hated it. And
Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah, running up and down staircases and like then running like laps. Like I had to run like 2 miles and I had to run up like a staircase like 6 times one time. And I like my legs were wobbling like chicken legs coming out. But like other than that and like basic Marine Corps history, like it didn't really prepare me. I guess it slightly prepared me with wearing a uniform. Like I already knew how to like blouse my boots and stuff like that. But they made us learn anyway because like I wasn't allowed to just be like accelerated compared to like the other rooks who were there because we were all recruits at the time. So like we all did everything together anyway. So I had to, even if I knew how to do something, I had to go through and do it again anyway. So it prepared me very, very, very minimally.
Yeah.
But at least like, you know, it was that slight bit more than some random person who had never had their head shaved or anything like that.
Yeah, and you'd grown up in the military as well. So that's in itself just an advantage, I'm sure.
Yeah, and then also, like, I wasn't, like, I grew up around Marines and sailors and stuff, so, like, these, we have cadre, that's what I am now, we have cadre that, like, they're, like, your staff sergeants, your corporals, your sergeant first classes, people who are, like, in charge of you, and they're the ones yelling at you and stuff, and so I was just looking at them, and they were, like, screaming at me, and I was, like, okay, like, I was, like, you're not a Marine, you're, like, a year older than me, and then, meanwhile, I see people to my right and left, and they're, like, crying, because they've never been yelled at before.
Yeah.
I had a kid this year crying 45 minutes into day zero. It was like, bro. But yeah, anyway, whatever Yannick was saying.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Yannick.
Similarly, with Mateo in Kubasaki, I was also in ROTC, and I was very, very big on it. And like, you know, I had someone reach out to me.
Like Alex Saber big?
Kubasaki. Yeah.
No. I don't think anyone was as big as him. No. He was another
he
level.
He spilled out to me a little bit because Alex was my mentor in ROTC. So, like, all the extra bullshit that he was doing, I was always doing it with him. So,
Operation Honor School, man.
Gosh. Oh, yeah. Bro.
Yeah.
Oh, I got our school, Honor in. School.
Operation.
I got it.
I forgot in. About that.
Yeah,
I remember that. I had gotten the ROTC scholarship for USD, and to answer your previous question that for Mateo, ROTC did not prepare me at all for what ROTC was going to be like. I actually have it. I had it easier with ROTC here at USD than Mateo mm-hmm. has it with Corps of Cadets. Corps is a lifestyle, like literally
24/7. I'm in a bear shroom right now.
The military, yeah,
my room yeah, whereas, is made up there. Like it's like no, no.
Whereas for me, it was like I have an ROTC class. I have to wake up in the mornings for PTs, or like drill and whatnot. But I wasn't wearing a uniform every day. Mm-hmm. It was just on Wednesdays. But I guess ROTC, it opened my eyes a little bit to like where my mental health has to be. I guess that's kind of where this conversation is going to stray. But it made me realize that like I really have to prioritize my mental well-being if I want to be able to get through like all the extracurricular bullshit that they put mm-hmm. you through with ROTC. You know, Mateo knows all about mm-hmm. the mental health side of it as well. It made me make a decision where it's like the only way that I thought that I could handle or take care of my mental health for me mm-hmm. was to leave ROTC, and that's why I have hair now.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, obviously there's a change. Yeah.
But I guess for me, leaving ROTC was probably one of the best decisions I'd ever made.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that USD's tuition was like $75,000, and the only reason I'm paying for it is the GI Bill.
Comes in clutch.
But oh yeah, 100%. But it made me really like realize like I have to take care of my shit, you know.
Yeah.
I was falling apart. I was getting like 2 hours of sleep a night, because we'd have PT or drill or whatever, and then like 4 in the morning, and then like early classes and late classes and whatnot.
I never understood that. Like, why is it got to be so early? Can you not do it later? Like, why is it? Can we can all get a few hours extra sleep and we'll all be 100% ready to go, and then we get a better workout in, everyone will be happier. You know, nothing changes about our readiness or our fitness. No, it just doesn't.
If it were later in the day, we'd all be able to do it and we'd be fine. But.
Yeah, everyone's a little more free. Everyone's not as sleepy, less cranky. I don't know, maybe. Yeah. Is it discipline? Is that what it is? I don't know.
Well, one reason is, for one, is to get everyone on the same same sleep schedule.
So why that sleep schedule? Time. Why that you one?
Think of it like this. People that are used to waking up at 8, people who are from another island or state or stuff like that, time difference, right? You wake them up mad early, and then you tire them out the entire day. So they all fall asleep at the same time.
Oh, and then they fail all their classes then, they have to take because, you know, they're too tired from running in the morning. Yeah.
Well, that's why for us, we have something called Rook Week, which starts, they get smoked like really hard the week mm-hmm. before school starts. And then we lay off them a lot after that because then it's like academics is number one, lifestyle is number two. And so then it's a little bit of a mix, but yeah. But yeah, me and Yannick, we had some dark times for a little while, man, with like, that doesn't sound like fun. Sure. It was a transition, definitely, especially moving. With our moving, like different relationship stuff that was happening with both of us, like friendships, like gaining and losing friendships.
It was so much, bro.
He knows. We had some late night calls that Bruno Mars was hitting.
Bruno Mars,
we were listening. We'd be in there, like we'd be playing games or something together. Like, it'd be like 1 in the morning,
man.
And we'd be playing Bruno Mars, like crying to like. Talking to the moon. I'm like, no, it was bad.
Bro, nothing kills relationships like the military kid lifestyle. Like, if there's anything that's not made for it, like, that's where they go to die, man. Like, there's nothing like
it.
Yeah. Oh, when I, like, just to tell you, like, how crazy it is, it's so common at my school. I remember I told one of my sergeants when I broke up with my ex, or my ex broke up with me. She laughed at me. She's like, yeah, that happens, like, every year. Forgot that I told her, and then it came up in conversation again like a month later.
Yeah.
And she was like, wait, you had a girlfriend? And I was like, yeah, it was like before, it was during like a weekend where we had our phone that I found out. And she was like, oh, and she laughed again. And I was like, bro,
ruthless.
It's like apparently it's like an 80 or 90%, like if someone comes into the school with a relationship, something happens, they lose it. I've seen it with people who are engaged to come to this school and break up with their fiancés. I know a guy who has a kid, bro, and he broke up with his fiance, and I was like, bro.
Damn.
They were having fights and stuff. I know two people who were engaged and then ended up with someone else. Like, it was – it's so common here. And then it transfers into the military too. Like, it's not – it doesn't end.
No, it doesn't get easier. Yeah, I've heard so many like awful stories from like deployments, and then it's like forget about
Dear John letters, bro. Like I'm gonna...
Oh,
Dear John phone calls or texts. Well, I don't know. Nah, we're good. We're chilling now.
Happy Bruno Mars. Yeah.
Me and Yannick literally had this conversation like what, two, 3 days ago?
Yep.
Where we like texting and we're like, bro, we're finally happy, bro. We got it, man. We're like, no more Bruno Mars.
That's what's up.
You know Sebastian Mata?
Yeah.
Yes, love Sebastian.
Sebastian's finally happy, bro.
He's finally happy.
Oh my god.
You guys are on the same feed. I hope he's doing all right. He's still doing ROTC, right? He's at Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's been on the show too, man. I've just been like dancing all around you guys, and then finally we got this done. You know, and, like everyone you know.
Yeah.
Next time we gotta have all three of us.
When you sent
Sebastian,
bro, we got some stories, bro. Low key.
So many.
What were you saying before that?
I was gonna say when you like followed me on Instagram, I was like, oh, I was like, I went and looked, and it said like 30 something people were following.
Exactly.
Me,
yeah.
And I was like, yo, how have I never? Has he never popped up on recommended or anything like that?
Exactly, like, man. Yeah. Yeah, it was weird because like we were at Gooby at the same time, but we just I don't know. Mm-hmm. It wasn't an opportunity, I guess, to be closer friends and really know each other.
Sometimes it just works like that.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. Sometimes it does, even in a small place.
Mm-hmm.
But still got this done. Thanks to Yannick, man. What a great decision. This has been an absolutely great time.
What an absolute god, bro.
Yeah, for real. This is awesome. This is awesome. I'm going to wrap it up, though. It's been an hour and a half, and this is like well over my usual episode. It's going to be crazy. Crazy to edit.
Yannick's rambling, bro. I don't help either. Ah, shit. Oh, dang it.
You did it again.
Whoops.
Man, you're giving Shannon so much work, bro.
Darn.
Dude, I got finals this week. You really gonna do this to me, man? Come on, I'm just sitting there. I'm about to study, and I'm like, I think Mateo cursed a minute 36, I swear. I'm like, I gotta find it. That's the worst. I'm getting lost in the footage.
Whoopsies.
Yeah, somewhere in here. I had a few, too. I think, yeah, we'll figure it out. No big deal. Kid friendly. Or maybe, you know what? Maybe I'll just say, hey, whatever. You know what? Who cares? What am I gonna do?
You gotta have like a little warning.
PG-13.
Yeah, YouTube doesn't pay me anyways. That's just as much work though, having to go through and count them as it is to censor them.
That's true.
Maybe cooler.
Yeah, I guess. Whatever. But yeah, guys, it's been a lot of fun. This was awesome talking old stories from Oki. There's nothing like it. So really appreciate you guys.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
Yeah, we should absolutely do it again sometime if we get the chance.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe get drag Sebastian along in here. He'll come back on the show.
We're definitely
sure.
Dragging Sebastian.
Yeah.
Dude, do it, bro.
Whether he likes
that
it or not.
So wild.
We have a little four-way pause, but yeah, it'll be a little long. Yeah, I'll talk to you guys later. All the listeners, I'll talk to them next week. And remember to vote in the Shammy Awards. And yeah, appreciate everyone for listening, watching, and I'll see you guys. We'll see everyone.